All right, and we're back. Build 2014. Welcome to Channel 9 Live. It's great to have you here. I'm going to keep saying happy birthday probably on every segment. We're really happy to have David Treadwell with us. Thanks for coming on.
It's great to be here.
And you're an engineering leader in Windows, and you have been for a long time.
That's right.
And right off the bat, I wanted to say I love that story.
Oh, did you?
Of AFT.
It's a fun, true story.
Dude, amazing. So you were like a low-level, like, writing drivers back then.
Yeah, well, there's a part of that story I didn't tell in the keynote for time. You want me to extend
yes,
it a little
would
bit?
Love it.
All right, so after the part of the story that I told in the keynote where my boss, Dave Thompson, gave me permission to actually use the name, a couple days later, there's another fellow who's kind of famous at Microsoft and in our industry, a guy named Dave Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
Dave is super well-known. He's basically the leader who created the NT operating system. And Dave Thompson, my boss, actually reported Dave Cutler. And so Dave was a very, very strong, I'll call it direct and assertive engineering leader. And so a few days after Dave Thompson gave me permission to use that name, AFT.sys, I got a personal visit from Dave Cutler. And when you're a developer in the NT team, a personal visit from Dave Cutler, that's kind of a thing.
Sure.
And he knocks on my door and he said to me, "Hey, Dave, what's this thing you just checked in? Is it all freaking dork?" And again, not exactly those words. And, you know, that's very intimidating for Dave Cutler to come by our office in Chancellor. So I explained the whole story, and he kind of snickered, and he approved the name, too. So
he did?
Yeah, he was okay with it also.
Did he do a code review on it?
He didn't do a formal code review, but there were a couple of occasions where he found my bugs, which was also a very intimidating experience when Dave Cutler comes by your office and points out that you allocated some memory and didn't free it.
Understood. So let me ask you this. You've been in Windows for so long, and it's the operating system has really evolved. When you look at where it is today, I mean, like, what goes through your mind in terms of...
Well, you're totally right about the degree of evolution of Windows over the years. You know, when I was a developer on Windows back in the early 90s, you know, the code was, you know, I think the architecture was good, like what Dave Cutler and others put in place, very solid design, but it was a more constrained system, a much smaller system, and frankly, not nearly as robust as it is today. Mm. If you look at the work we've done in the last couple of decades, making Windows secure, making it crash resistant, running on this incredible variety of devices, I mean, the amount of innovation and energy that's gone into that operating system in the last few decades, it's amazing how much is in there.
Totally, and with the new platform, the WinRT, where you've sort of really had to do a lot of work.
Yeah, WinRT, you know, I love the vision that the team has pursued with WinRT. Win32 and our sort of classic platforms are beautiful in terms of the power that they provide. And if you look at the history of the computer industry, the personal computer industry, you know, it was almost hobbyist way back 30 years ago. And so the platforms were all about maximum control, maximum performance. But what we realized early in the Windows 8 cycle was that we needed to modernize the platform so that it could have, you know, the kind of guarantees that both consumers and developers expect. Mm. So it's not possible for an application to negatively impair the system. So that when you install an application as a consumer, you know that you can delete that application and it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, concepts like viruses and malware, they're just not possible on the WinRT platform. So it's really, we think of it as a significant modernization of the developer platform of Windows to have all the power and capabilities of our traditional platforms, but with this modern, safer, more appropriate set of constraints to help people build great apps.
Absolutely, and for the people who build desktop apps out there, and there's a lot of them, it's still there.
Yeah, that's right, that's
right. In fact, WinRT runs on the desktop in some sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, well.
It needs Win32.
In terms of the user interface, well, a couple of things there.
Yeah.
The architecture of WinRT is basically built on top of Win32. Yeah. So in the earlier question to Kevin about, you know, are we denigrating desktop apps? No, heck no. Mm. You know, it's all about supporting those investments. And so the Win32 apps, or the Win32 infrastructure is what supports WinRT. And Terry Myerson, in his part of the keynote, showed even running those modern applications on the desktop, something we've heard about a ton from customers. We don't have that available yet, but we're basically foreshadowing, yes, we've heard your feedback. We know that as developers and as customers, you want to run your modern apps on the desktop, and we're going to be supporting that.
Right on. So for everybody watching, thanks for the questions. I see they're coming in. I'm going to start asking them now. I'm not going to ask this one, although I guess I could. Does Windows Phone 8 support C++ AMP, the GPU programming on the CPU?
I don't know.
Okay. Carmine wants to know. Actually, we'll channel that probably for the C++ people. I'm going to have them on here on day 3. We'll ask them that. So Carmine wants to know, is the Internet of Things a separate update later in the year which showed the start screen apps integrated in the new start button?
The Internet of Things is more of a, it's a program for many different areas that's kind of independent of what we're doing in our PC phone tablet space. So it uses the same core Windows, all that infrastructure and the file systems or the networking or even the WinRT developer platform. But many of the IoT Internet of Things scenarios are actually headless. And so the thing that Terry showed of, you know, foreshadowing the new UI function, that's not an IoT release. That is really a release of core Windows.
Okay.
And then the IoT is for scenarios, you know, the kind of things that we might have historically called Windows embedded. IoT will be in those scenarios. And yes, there will be some IoT scenarios that have a desktop, but it, or a modern shell and applications as well. They'll basically follow off of what we do with the main Windows and Windows Phone.
Excellent. Lisa wants to know, is the graphical diagnostic tool you showed during your presentation available for all versions of Visual Studio 2013?
I don't know the answer to that either. Sorry.
Cool. Was that might have been Kevin's.
Yeah, it was part of Kevin's demo. Right, I don't know if they're putting in all versions of VS, though.
Fair enough. So Christopher wants to know, when will the developer preview for Windows Phone 8.1 be available?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in the keynote. And the more specific details, mid-April, just a couple of weeks away, we expect to have that available to developers so you can put Windows Phone 8.1 on your machines. You can develop apps for it. You can run the Cortana stuff that Joe showed in his part of the keynote. So really excited about getting that available to the developer community.
Awesome. And Matthew, that basically answers your question as well about how you can get it onto your device since you're a developer.
Right.
Pronto, do universal Windows apps have the same application lifecycle on the phone, tablet, et cetera?
We're working to make sure that the process lifecycle manager, that infrastructure is the same across them. Right now in Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, there are some minor differences. Mm-hmm. But we're working to reconcile that so that you don't have to think as a developer about those differences.
So one of the APIs I really was a fan of in Windows 8, I believe it was 8.1 actually, was sort of the background cache updating service.
Right.
Because you can imagine an always fresh app.
Yes, and that's the whole goal of that API.
Is that universalized?
We didn't take that infrastructure out. All that infrastructure continues to go forward. We want to make sure that, you know, apps that are basically always aware of what's going on around you and doing that in a way that's friendly to battery life and those kind of things, that's a core motivation for that.
Excellent.
Stuff.
So for the developers out there, take advantage of that lifecycle, because as a user, I would love to click on an app and it's already fresh.
Yep.
All right, so Carl, Zippy V, what's up, my man? How is the new C++ 14 standard being adopted at Microsoft? Any success stories?
I'm afraid I don't know the answer on that one either.
He's a C developer, man. He's old school.
That's right. C++, what's that?
We are going to have Tarek Madkower and also Eric Broomer on here later this week. They will answer those questions.
Great.
Carl wants to know, if there will be one app for phone, tablet, and PC, when you buy the application on the phone, will I get it on the tablet? Or will they remain separate purchases?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for clarifying that. So one of the things that we're talking about this week is what we call this concept of shared app identities. So as a developer, you can make that choice. If you want one application where the customer buys it one time and they can run it on phone or tablet or PC, the shared app identities infrastructure allows you as a developer to do that. So as developers start building that kind of application and choosing that a purchase on the phone applies to the PC and vice versa, yes, that will be possible.
Excellent. You know, one of the things I love about Satya, our new CEO, is his, you know, number one, he's really technical and very lofty. And
yes, he is.
And so I'm going to be saying this all week. The notion of ubiquitous computing and ambient intelligence, what does it mean for Windows?
Well, Windows is, in a way, the foundation for all of that, and in a couple of different dimensions. Of course, in the cloud, Azure and all our infrastructure, it's all based on Windows. You know, we run Windows in the cloud, and it is the operating system that is the core of Azure. And so the part of that that is services is cloud-based, well, Windows is what's underpinning that. Mm. And then the client on devices, you know, we think Windows is an amazingly good client application platform, and Windows will be one of the best places, the best place, to run those applications. So ambient computing, whether that is on tablets and desktops, whether that is in IoT kinds of scenarios, Windows will be infrastructure that supports all of those different scenarios.
So Windows XP will be ending soon.
Right.
It's April 2nd.
Right.
And I think it's the 8th.
Yes, we're there. Almost there.
But it's, you know, I feel proud about that because it's lasted so long, and it was a very solid operating
Windows
system.
Windows XP, you know, it was an amazing operating system. You worked on Windows XP.
I did,
in your career. Yeah. You know, Windows XP was really where the NT kernel became real. It became our mainstream operating system. The company put a huge amount of work into it over the years to polish that, and you know, it's been a great operating system. But it's also time to advance. You know,
yes.
That operating system was released almost 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And the computer industry has advanced. We've advanced, and so we really think it's in everyone's interest that we move forward to more modern systems now.
Rock and roll. So Abdul wants to know, will you keep on releasing latest versions of Windows Phone Windows like Windows 9.0 or keep improving OS with minor upgrades?
Abdul, this is a really great question because it speaks to where we want to take Windows. I actually spent the last 3.5 years before being in the Windows team working on Xbox. And with Xbox 360 and Xbox One, we have a really compelling way to keep that system updated for users. We don't have multiple versions of the Xbox 360 operating system that are out there in use. There's just one version. Likewise, with Xbox One, there's just one version of the system. And so we want to think of Windows and the way we deploy and update Windows much more similarly to how Xbox or even competing technologies like the Chrome browser are always up to date. Mm. When we create these version fractures, it's really complicated for our customers, for our developers, and for ourselves because we have to think about this proliferation of versions out in the world, which is just really hard to manage.
Yes.
My favorite example of this is Internet Explorer. We have a bunch of versions of Internet Explorer that are simultaneously used by lots of customers. And it's really hard for web developers because they got to test on IE 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's hard on us because we've got to do bug fixing on all those. Mm-hmm. It's just a really difficult way for us to manage our systems. The way we want to take this is all of our infrastructure is kind of like services. For example, when you connect to Amazon, you don't think of the old version of Amazon's website. There's just one version of the website.
Yeah.
We want Windows and our infrastructure to be the same way. Of course, with great backward compatibility, of course, with control of the users and IT departments, but much more of a service-oriented view of how we think about Windows.
Outstanding. And so that probably that would impact the way that you architect the system.
Yes.
So you're going to make it more modular.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's a huge impact on how we architect the system. And a lot of the focus of the team right now is building the infrastructure, the systems, whether that's the build system or the deployment systems or end-to-end on how we can make that vision true. You know, Windows was built for an area of box software originally. Mm-hmm. We've moved it far forward, like Windows Update is a great technique along the lines of what I'm describing.
Yep.
But I'm foreshadowing that we want to take an assertive step forward on having Windows always be up to date for customers. So it's not something you have to think about. It's just easy. Of course you've got the latest version of Windows.
Right on. So TNV wants to know, can I install a phone app on a tablet?
They're actually separate app package systems, so you have common code. The code can be exactly the same between tablet and phone, but they're actually compiled to a slightly different target package, so there's still a little step there. It's one thing we're going to be working to remove in the future with that universal Windows application concept that we talked about.
Awesome. And I'm sorry, a German name. Anything new on the packaging front since you talked about packaging? Package manager, store, MSI, et cetera.
Well, the big thing on store, actually, is this concept of shared app identities, you know, allowing this better unification of application experiences across PC, phone, tablets that you don't have to think about as a customer, have these separate device targets, really one common app experience across all the different form factors that you use. And the store, you know, more and more we want to unify that, have one store experience across all of our different platforms.
Excellent. And you guys have already done phenomenal engineering work in terms of really having one operating system on multiple platforms, multiple devices.
That's right. You know, the core of Windows Phone for the last several years has been the NT core, which is the same as Windows. A big advance we made with Xbox One, different than Xbox 360, is that in Xbox One, that is based on the Windows operating system. It's got a different shell. The developer platform, you know, we have some constraints on it just because of what we were able to get done in Xbox One. But Xbox One really is the Windows operating system, and that's what enables the things that Terry talked about in terms of us having universal Windows apps available, not just on PC, phone, tablet, but in the future, also on Xbox.
So is AFT.sys on Windows Phone, Xbox, and Windows?
A lot of the code is there. It's packaged a little bit differently. The teams enjoy giving me ribbing about
right
how
on.
They've changed my code in the last couple of decades.
Perfect. C code, right?
Yeah, it is all C
code.
Straight C. No C++ even.
No C++ stuff. All right, Nijraz wants to know, will app onboarding AKK certification processes be unified? in Windows Store and phone.
We're working toward that. They're not the same today, and we have a fair amount of work to get there. And in fact, you know, in the Xbox world, the very high-end AAA games, you know, the Titanfalls of the world, they go through a fairly different process, more control, more rigidity by design. Mm. But our vision is toward more unification, more consistency. We don't want there to be work on the part of the developer, a bunch of work to submit to the phone in a separate process, bunch of work to submit to Windows in a separate process. We're over time going to be eliminating all those distinctions for this universal apps concept.
So since you worked in, you know, being an engineering leader, you're working on Xbox, and you guys, in Xbox One, it's sort of this triumvirate OS model where you have Cutler's fast OS
hypervisor,
switching.
That's right.
Hypervisor. Can you talk a little bit about that, a little bit more about that? I mean, so is it,
sure.
I mean, because it's incredibly fast.
Well, one of the things early in the Xbox One design cycle, we realized that we needed to support Windows applications, just like we announced today, but we also needed to support AAA games. And AAA games on consoles have always had this constraint where they need effectively a real-time guarantee. They need to know exactly how much RAM they're going to get. They need to know exactly the number of processor cores and how much computing power they have available to them. Because what they do is they really tune the application on very specific constraints. Windows is a more is a less constrained environment. It's not really a real-time operating system. So what we did is we created this OS design where we have what we call the game side of the OS, the game OS, where only one thing at a time, just one app, that app or game gets access to a certain amount of computing resources, meaning that CPU, GPU, RAM, and it's fixed and guaranteed.
Cool.
And then there's the other side, the Windows side, where it's basically like the Windows environment, and multiple apps can run simultaneously, they share resources, memory gets swapped in and out as necessary, threads get interrupted as necessary. Mm. So the reason we have that 3OS design is there's that game OS, the Windows OS, and then the hypervisor is a thing beneath both of them that handles the switching between them. It's a super lightweight operating system. And even calling it an operating system is kind of more credit than it deserves. It's like a runtime that switches between the two and makes those resource guarantees between the
two. Right on. And that's like that's Dave Cutler's craft.
Dave did an amazing job
code.
On that hyper. Yeah, Dave comes into the office every day and works on the Xbox One hypervisor.
That's awesome. Really excellent piece of technology. Carmine would like to know, will the start screen tiles be integrated into the new start button? This sounds like a familiar question. And I don't think that you know the answer.
Yeah, we're working through this. You know, all the details Terry foreshadowed with that prototype that he showed. You know, we want to move in that direction, but you're asking a level of detail that we really haven't decided yet.
Excellent. Tom wants to know, can a retail Xbox One use for application development and debugging? So can I write on Xbox?
Yeah. Well, we're working on an Xbox Indie Developer Program, and we're scaling that a little bit at a time, but the intent is that a retail Xbox One will be the development environment that somebody uses. So the Xbox Ones that all the people here got to build, when we have that opened up, you'll be able to use that as your debug environment for Xbox One.
Awesome. So Boris wants to know, can you elaborate on the relationship between, maybe you mean BCL or PCL, but he's saying BCL, which is the base class library of .NET, and universal apps.
If you mean base class library, so like Kevin talked about, universal apps can use any programming language you want. And so if you choose to use one of the .NET programming languages, like C# or VB.NET, then you can invoke the base class libraries as part of your universal application. So in a sense, the BCL, the base class libraries, are a part of the Windows runtime, which is what supports universal Windows apps.
Excellent. Krishna would like to know, any possibility of integration of Action Center in Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1?
We're looking at that. We don't have firm plans around that, but we know that there are distinctions there, and over time we want to have that be more clean, simple,
cool.
Integrated.
Cool. So on
experience.
A tablet I could swipe down and get the...
Yeah, you know, we haven't figured out the exact design and how it will happen, but that those kinds of distinctions exist. You know, one of Joe Belfiore's main tasks, and he's something very that he's very passionate about, is having user experience consistency wherever it makes sense across PC, phone, tablet. He's doing a great job working toward that.
Absolutely. Totally. Things like Android that run across all of these things don't have the legacy of a desktop.
Right. Exactly.
So Joe wants to know, when can we start building XAML applications for Xbox One?
It's funny, Joe Belfiore just asked me that question backstage.
Is that,
I wonder
maybe
if
that's
Joe
him.
Belfiore. So the Xbox One shell actually is written in XAML. So we use XAML inside Xbox One because it's based on that same Windows platform. We didn't have time in the first release of Xbox One to actually make that available as part of the platform, but we are looking at how we're going to make XAML be a first-class way to do presentation on Xbox One.
Excellent. And the last question is from Jimmy. How will apps be published on the Xbox One?
We're going to use the Windows Store for all these applications, and the question earlier about integrating the processes for that, it'll be exactly the same infrastructure there.
Awesome. Well, hey, David, thanks for coming on Channel 9.
Thanks, and thanks very much for your great questions. Really appreciate them, everybody.
Right on. Thank you, and we'll see you next with a panel that's definitely going to be all about ubiquitous computing, machine thinking. I love